Right.
I was going to say, Lori, I turn 35 next Sunday, and I don't want to show my body off.
That's fine. Oh, that's right, fellow Gemini. This is Cliff McCollum joining us here at WABF on Community Contact. Cliff is the Baldwin County Legislative District Constituent Services Representative.
Or, as we always like to say on here, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
And we also know you as former editor of Gulf Coast Newspapers and The Courier. And thank you for being here the second Friday of each month. So, our legislators are out of session now, right?
They are out of session, but that does not mean that we're not still hitting the ground running and trying to do what we need to do to make sure we're helping folks and getting what we need down here.
So how about we highlight some of the more notable bills that have passed and things that might affect our lives?
Well, let's start locally here with Baldwin County. Representative Simpson had the bill that will fund the creation of our Baldwin County Mental Health Court.
Right.
That will help people who have these mental illnesses that currently they're getting treatment in our jail. And that's not the best place for these folks, not for them, and honestly not for our folks there in the jail, both the other inmates that don't have mental illnesses and the folks that are working in the jail. This mental health court will be a diversionary program similar to our drug court and our veterans court that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
That will be more diversionary, but it will help them get the treatment they need from mental health care professionals. The good folks over there at Alta Point are going to be a partner on this. And, get them help there instead of in a jail cell. So, and honestly, it saves the taxpayers money there because the jail is not going to have to be the mental health service provider for these people anymore. So that's a very good thing that's going to directly impact us here in Baldwin County. We have to talk about medical marijuana, I think. That's a huge deal and something, I'll be honest, Lori, I've lived here my whole life, and I was genuinely surprised that it actually made it through this year.
It's been in the works for quite some time, and it's still not what many of us think. You can't buy the legal grass-type form or flower form of marijuana for medical purposes when this bill comes effective, which is when?
Later this year sometime. Usually with bills, there's like a period where it's like 3 months or 6 months after it takes effect. It's usually like the last line in the bill. So I'm not entirely certain off the top of my head, but I know it's somewhere in the bill. But there's also going to be a commission that will help like regulate how and where this is distributed. And I know the governor's been working on those appointments and trying to figure out, who to put on that commission to help the regulation. But I mean, people who genuinely need, the healing power of this medical marijuana in the form of tinctures, or I believe there's gummies.
I heard suppositories.
Suppositories is actually one of the things. But we laugh about it. But I was talking to a friend of mine that has recovered from cancer. And there are a lot of types of cancers that your ability to swallow and to be able to take things that way is just, it's out. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would allow those people the ability to be able to get the healing properties of this medicine that they need. So, I mean, we joke about it because, let's be honest, suppositories are funny, but it does actually make a lot of sense.
Okay.
We're also gearing up, possibly looking at two special sessions later this year. The prison issue is going to come up. The Justice Department is on the state to be able to adequately provide space for the prisoners that we have in our system. So that's going to be something that's going to have to come back up, especially after the governor's plan kind of fell apart after the different groups that were supposed to be funding the project kind of pulled back from that. That's something that now the legislature and the governor's office are going to have to work together. And there have been meetings about that. Even this week, I think Speaker McCutcheon was meeting with her and some other folks about that very issue. Similarly, we'll have to look at redistricting. With the census results coming back, we're going to have to redistrict not just the state house and Senate seats, but even the federal lines are going to have to move a little bit, you know, for our Congress.
And this is due to census figures?
This is due to census figures,
yes. Do we anticipate losing some representation in the state of Alabama?
No, thank goodness. Because of our census results, and folks, if you're listening out there and you filled out your census, thank you so much for doing that. Because we had such good response rates on our census this year, we were very close to actually losing a House seat in the Congress, and thankfully we were not among the states that actually lost representation this time, so we get to keep our 7, because that, you know, anytime you lose a seat like that, that's a loss of federal money, but it's also a loss of power and influence up there in the Congress. The more people we've got up there fighting for Alabama and the stuff that we need down here, the better. So it's that'll be interesting to see. In fact, Chris Pringle, actually, who's one of our state house members from over in Mobile.
Former high school buddy of mine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Representative Pringle is the chairman of the committee in the House that'll actually get to draw the state house district. So that's a good thing for us down here.
Good.
And Representative Pringle, he stays hard at work at what he does. In fact, I know for a fact, seeing the emails and getting the phone calls that come into our office about what people are concerned about in terms of what's going on in our state or our nation,
mm-hmm.
We've gotten a lot of phone calls and emails about the teaching of the critical race theory. And I know you've probably heard a good bit about that. Representative Pringle is actually working on a bill right now. I believe he may have already even filed it to ban the teaching of that in our classrooms here in Alabama. So I know there's a lot of folks out there that are concerned about that. So if you're listening right now and you're very concerned about it, your state legislature is on the case already.
Then we've had some not so normal bills pass, like banning transgender athletes from performing in
a high school athletics,
right? Here's one. I'm not sure recall. I was Googling to find out what happened while I was on vacation, mostly.
But and a well-deserved vacation.
Thank you. Curbside voting ban.
The curbside voting ban, it's a question of ballot security and election integrity that has been raised by some of this curbside voting stuff. And it came up during the election last year because of the pandemic. A lot of people were concerned about going and submitting stuff in public, and the Attorney General's office and the Secretary of State's office were very insistent that this needed to go through to help kind of protect our election integrity. So it did pass. And I see the next bill you got there. I'm actually really excited about this next bill, the yoga in schools bill.
Alabama had a decades-old ban on yoga in public schools.
Well, and just like Chris Pringle is an old friend of yours, the sponsor of that particular piece of legislation, Jeremy Gray, who is a House member from Opelika, literally my high school classmate. We graduated together.
The Alabama Board of Education voted in 1993 to prohibit yoga, hypnosis, and meditation in public school classrooms. Now this will allow schools to offer yoga, although all poses must have English names.
Yeah, and you can't say namaste or anything like that. If you go back and look at some of the testimony and some of the video from 1993 when this thing passed, there were people who were, very adamant that if you taught yoga in schools, you were going to convert our children to Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think time maybe has shown that, I won't even say maybe, time has shown that that is completely not the case. In fact, I know several churches that have yoga classes.
Right.
And you know, Jeremy is a former football player, former track star for Opelika. He's an athletic trainer. He knows what he's doing. And the helpfulness that yoga gives in terms of stretching and flexibility for our athletes, it's a mm-hmm. wonderful tool in the toolbox to be able to use that we haven't been able to use until now. So I think this will actually be a great thing for our students across the state to be able to get to enjoy and use.
And I see here that the general fund budget $2.4 billion plan was approved that includes a 2% pay raise for state employees.
Yeah, and in fact, the chairman of the general fund is a member of our delegation, that's Senator Albritton, who represents North Baldwin County. Okay. And always great to have him in the delegation and to be able to, you know, everybody was a little bit worried coming out of this COVID year, you know, what was the budget going to look like? Were we going to have cuts?
And, right.
And thankfully, we were able to persevere and be able to do more for the people of Alabama.
Alabama lawmakers also banned vaccine passports or the need to provide proof of a vaccine to enter a business, a school, or an event.
And I'll tell you, this was another one of those things that, again, I'm kind of the listening post in terms of figuring out what the constituents are very passionate about. We got a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls about this issue, and people did not want to have these vaccine passports. So the legislature listened, and they acted. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are very happy about not having to do that.
So the gambling, lottery, and casino bill, all of that failed?
It did. And
so that might come up in a special session again?
It could possibly. There's always a chance. But
what's the hang-up?
Lori, it's a very complicated issue because there are so many sliding factors involved in, because it's not just as simple as, okay, we're just going to pass this bill and let people vote on it, because you have to figure out where that revenue is going to go in terms of, do you put it in the general fund? Do you put it in the education trust fund? There are a lot of people that are dead set against this, especially in the Republican Party. So you've got a large amount of the Republican majority that are just not in favor of gambling at all and will not vote for any type of gambling. So you're going to have Democratic votes in order to get the thing passed so that people can vote on it. Well, the Democrats want more spending on social stuff and Medicaid or Medicare expansion. And, you know, the Republicans aren't really willing to do that.
So in other words, us voters get to vote on whether or not gambling can occur, but we don't get a choice in what type of gambling nor where the proceeds are going to go. That's going to be determined for us before we can vote.
Right. So before you vote, the bill will pass, like, okay, will you vote to allow this type of gaming, whether it's just simply a paper lottery or if it's expanding to casino gaming? And you know, that's a big issue too. You've got some people that are okay with a paper lottery but don't want to expand to casino gaming. There's so many different facets mm-hmm. of this particular argument that people get really upset about this gambling thing. And I understand it. I get it, because, you know, we live in a border area. We live here near Florida. I grew up living near Georgia. So anytime that Powerball hit, you know, 100 million, everybody would be driving over the line, spending money in these other states that could be kept here. But there are so many factors to this that it's not as simple an issue as it might seem to be.
And it's a hot button issue. People feel very passionately about whether they think there should or should not be gambling.
Very much so.
So you think maybe a special session could address that?
It's one of those things that's been talked about, and then, you know, you hear like, oh, yeah, we'll definitely have one, and then, we may not have one. It'll depend on if the leaders that be think that a deal can be worked out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's really no point in bringing everybody back up there if they don't think they can actually work out a deal.
Okay. We've been speaking with Cliff McCollum with the Baldwin County Legislative District here on Community Contact. It is 8:35 on Friday, June 11th, and it is already 82 degrees with a heat index well above 90. We'll get the scoop from meteorologist John Nodar in just a moment. First, let's take a break and check in with Kenny in coastal traffic. Our conversation with Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative District Office. We've talked about a lot of bills that have passed and some issues still to be addressed, perhaps in an upcoming special session. The Bridge, the Mobile MPO, and the Eastern Shore MPO have both put phase one of the truck toll route on their TRIP, or Transportation Improvement Plan. Do our legislators, are they involved in this?
In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. Directly involved, like we have a direct say over anything? Not really. Not so much. It's more in an advisory capacity. All of my members have been following this intently. I know several of them have met with different MPO members from both Eastern Shore and Mobile one-on-one to try to kind of gauge what's going on, where people's minds are on this stuff. But I mean, the consensus between everybody is we have to have some sort of solution. And by putting at least this plan back on the tip, it allows us the ability to, especially with federal funding, be able to fight for more federal funding. We got that $125 million that Senator Shelby got us a while back. I think you'll see with this infrastructure plan that the Biden administration has been pushing, since Senator Shelby, even though the Democrats took control of the Senate, Senator Shelby is still the ranking member on the Appropriations Committee. I think he's in a great position to be able to possibly get us some more money put into that in that possible infrastructure bill.
That would be a great act of him before his retirement.
Well, but let's be honest. That's what Richard Shelby does. That's what he has done. I'll go out on this limb, Lori. I'll say this. I think when you write the history books on the state of Alabama, you have to write that one of the most effective legislators in our entire history has to be Richard Shelby, in terms of his ability to work with folks and bring money back to Alabama for things that we need here from the north of the state all the way down here. I mean, with the dredging for the port. I mean, he's done so much for our state. I wish him well in his retirement, but there is a large part of me that hates to see him go, because we're losing so much institutional knowledge and ability in him leaving.
Yes. Now, back to our legislative representatives here in Baldwin County. I presume they will meet and work with LDOT, too, saying, you know, we need this funding. LDOT so far only got, what, $250 million state funds are now secured.
Well, and the good thing is we have a number of people in our delegation down here that are on different transportation committees. I know Senator Elliott and Representative Baker in our Baldwin delegation are on the Joint Transportation Committee, as is Representative Margie Wilcox over in Mobile. So it's good to have those voices on that committee to be able to raise concerns and raise issues down here for stuff that they need. And especially with the Rebuild Alabama Act funds, trying to get more of that money down here. You know, it's always been one of Senator Elliott's big things. You know, you always hear him say it time and time again, we're going to fight for our fair share. Mm-hmm. We're sending all this money up there. We need to make sure we're getting our money back. And roads and infrastructure are very important to all of us down here, especially with the growth that we're seeing. We have to be able to address and deal with that. And I think we've done a good job of trying to get those projects, get some of that money back here. We're seeing that road construction up in Spanish Fork with the widening of 31, with the widening of Canal down at the beach, with the 181 expansion. There's been a lot of good stuff just in Baldwin County that we've been able to do. Bridge stuff aside, we all know we need the bridge, and we're all going to fight for that, but we need to make sure we're taking care of stuff internally in our county as well. And I think we've done a good job of working with the state and honestly working with the Baldwin County Commission and doing that.
Okay. And speaking of retirement from Shelby, when is the next election? And we've already got folks announcing their intent to run.
We do. It'll be March of next year, I believe, is the primary. And there are a number of people who have already announced they're running for re-election. Governor Ivey, probably the biggest one, is running for re-election.
How old is she?
I don't actually know off the top of my head. I would say maybe early 70s, maybe.
Okay.
But because she finished out a certain part of Governor Bentley's term. It was not a large enough portion of the term to where it would discount her from being able to run for a full second term.
Oh, that's right, because this will be her third time around as governor, but the first one was appointed and not a full term.
Well, since Governor Bentley resigned and she was the lieutenant governor, she stepped up, but there was not enough of that term left to trigger the thing where she couldn't run. She ran for a full term after that, so now this will be her second full term. So she's running.
Jim Ziegler running?
Jim Ziegler,
state auditor?
Well, he is term limited out for state auditor. You can only do two terms. He's done two terms as auditor. We all know that our dear friend Jim Ziegler is going to run for something. But, you know, one of the things about Jim Ziegler, if you know Jim, and I know Jim, you know Jim, Jim has a certain amount of theatricality to him. That's one of the things I actually kind of appreciate about Mr. Ziegler. And he likes to wait until the last minute to try to kind of make a splash or make a scene about what he's going to do. So I've heard a number of things that he's talked about running for. I've heard state treasurer. I have heard secretary of state. I've even heard governor. There was an article about it, I think, in AL.com talking about him maybe running for governor. Where he ends up, only Jim Ziegler knows.
I see. Okay.
But I'll tell you what, it's always fun to watch.
But let's talk about our own Baldwin County legislators. Do you know yet which ones have the intent to seek re-election?
Well, I know one who isn't. And he's already announced this, so this is no great surprise. But Representative Harry Shiver, who is the representative for North Baldwin County, up there in Baymanette, Representative Shiver, or Coach Shiver, as everybody knows him, because he has coached or refereed literally everybody in the state of Alabama at some point. He is the Kevin Bacon of Alabama. That man, you can connect him to anybody in six moves or less. But Coach is hanging his hat up and is going home to be with Miss Jean. And thus far, only one candidate has declared already to run in that race, and that is Donna Givens. She used to be with she used to do government affairs for Baldwin EMC, and she has declared for that seat. In fact, I believe she had a kickoff party in Loxley last night for folks down here in Baldwin County. Representative Simpson will be running again for his seat. Of course, our dear friend Senator Elliott will be running for re-election, as will Senator Albritton. Mr. Faust is running.
Joe is going to run again.
Our Fairhope's own Joe Faust. Okay. Fairhope's favorite son. He's going again. You can't stop Mr. Joe. He's always going to keep going. And I'll tell you, he's been really energized this last session. You know, he sponsored that Barnwell Landmark District bill. That was his bill that went through and passed there. And he's created a group called Clean Water Alabama that he's getting a lot of attention with statewide, with some folks down here like John Manelis and good folks like him, trying to help improve our water quality and see what we can do at the local, at the county, at the state level to try to make sure that we're protecting and keeping our water clean and good to use.
Is that what inspired the Baldwin County Commission to create an environmental committee?
They were kind of it was their parallel tracks. They were kind of already working on that, and then, you know, Mr. Joe's brought a lot of attention. But I mean, they've met with the governor on this, and he's been working really hard to try to get this issue to the forefront of stuff, and he's willing to talk to anybody and everybody he can about what we can do to help with water. So if y'all got good ideas and want to send them to us, just, hey, call the office. Mr. Joe would love to talk to you.
Does that cover everybody?
Representative Baker, who represents the eastern part of Baldwin County, he is running again. And then Representative McMillan, who is in the south part of Baldwin County. Representative McMillan, he may run again, he may not. That's the one that's a little bit up in the air right now.
Okay,
You know, you hear things both ways. Until I hear it directly from his mouth, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to speculate.
What's the salary for an Alabama legislator?
Actually, it is tied statutorily to the median income of the state of Alabama. So it actually varies depending on what the median income of the state of Alabama is.
Ballpark. $40,000, $140,000. I mean, ballpark. Like I can Google it if I need
40 to 45.
Really?
Yeah. Depending on the year, about 40 to 45.
Okay.
Because it's not meant to be a full-time position. You know, that like most of our legislators have other jobs or they're retired from other jobs. I mean, even within our own delegation, Representative Simpson and Senator Albritton are attorneys. Coach is a retired teacher. Mr. Joe is a retired insurance agent.
Chris Elliott's still...
Does a bunch of stuff with his family's businesses. Representative Baker is a retired teacher, and Representative McMillan has his real estate office.
Okay. Well, very good, Cliff. I think we'll wrap up this portion of our informative interview concerning what's happening with our Baldwin County Legislative Office, and we'll take a quick break to take care of some other business. And then, can you stick around for Swap Shop?
I can't today.
Oh, Mark is going to be heartbroken.
He's going to be heartbroken, but I'll be back later this month. Oh. You know, I love me some Swap Shop, but we've actually got a meeting about mental health court today over at the courthouse with some of the judges and the sheriff and the DA. So I want to make sure I'm there for that, to make sure we're pushing that to get people the help.
That's going to be a blessing to a lot of people, family members who have had to struggle with that dilemma, and then law enforcement officials. Bless their hearts, and have so much to deal with already, having a proper environment to deal with these issues is just going to be a win-win for everybody.
They're not supposed to be mental health care professionals, and hopefully this will be able to unburden our corrections department, our sheriff's department from having to do that. And let's remember our sheriff's department and our law enforcement folks and our thoughts and prayers this week. In light of the passing of Deputy Smith on Sunday, that was a hard thing to see.
Yes, and, it was very sad.
And tomorrow, the service is open to the public, and that will be over in Robertsdale at the Baldwin County Coliseum, I believe, at 2 p.m.
And they are inviting people, and yet also advising of traffic in that area in that time frame. Thank you, Cliff.
Always happy to be here, Lord.
Cliff McCollum with our Baldwin County Legislative Office. It is now 8:51 and 82 degrees. Checking in now with Kenny in Coastal Traffic.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, one more check of traffic on your Friday. Mobile police working an accident that was moved into a parking lot, Schillinger Road just north of Gree Lot, a fender bender Amsterdam Street at Sligo Street, but still problem-free on the Bayway, Causeway, and through the tunnels. No issues, I-10 to I-65. This Saturday night,